Air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Rapport Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, Oak Hill Marina in Arnold's Park, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. Let's see. Today's the big day there in Kingsley. The Culpepper and Merriweather Circus is going to be in town. So if you don't have a ticket yet, you can just show up and get one at the window. I don't think it's sold out yet. They're going to have two shows today, one at 2 and one at 4. And if you show up at this morning there in Kingsley, you can watch him put up the big top, and that'll go up at 9:30, and then it's followed by a free tour of the circus grounds. So you'll be able to interact with the lion. They got a lion. They got two tigers, they do a lot of horses. Acts with horses, and then also some acrobatic dog type things. But it's a pretty good show. It's all under the big top, so rain or shine, you'll still have a good time there. $12 for adults, $7 for children, and seniors 65 and up can get in for $7 also. Also today in Kingsley is a four-person best ball sponsored by the Kingsley Fire Department at the Brookside Golf Course. And it's an 8 a.m. check-in for that. And I think the entry fee is $100, and the payback is going to be, I don't know, close to like 80% back, I believe. I might have that wrong. But anyway, it is a pretty good payback on that. But that's going to start at 8 a.m. this morning at the Brookside Golf Course in Kingsley, Iowa. And its proceeds will go towards the Kingsley Volunteer Fire Department. And speaking of golf, next weekend in Pearson, Iowa, at the Pearson Golf Course, they will have their second annual Pearson Golf Stock Music Festival. And that's going to be Saturday, August 17th from 4 to 8 p.m. They're going to have music, food, vendors there at the Pearson Golf Course. Free event. Just show up and enjoy yourself. The Pearson Golf Association will be raffling a 17 HMR Henry Golden Boy rifle, and that's about a $400 or $500 value there. So pretty good deal. They're going to use the proceeds there to make improvements on the golf course there in Pearson. The second prize drawing in that raffle will be a custom putter Cerakoted by Shireworks of Kingsley, and that's Sam does that. It's a new finish that they do on guns. It's kind of a baked on finish, really durable. And he's going to take a putter and Cerakote that. And I believe he'll custom do it the way the winner wants it. So it's going to be a pretty cool putter. Nobody else will have one like it. I know that. If you want more information on that, you can contact Shire Woodworks in Pearson at 712-375-5202 or just, I don't know, find anybody in Pearson, they'll know. You can contact City Hall there, too, and the clerk there will be able to get you the information on that, too. That's what's neat about small towns is you just want to find out something that's going on. You just find anybody that lives in that town, and they know it. It's like, hey, what's going on? I don't know. It seems like it's getting late in the year. I mean, it's getting school's going to be starting here before too long. The hunting seasons will be open before we know it. Here next month, we're going to have the dove seasons will be open in all three states, probably about that's usually around September 15th. And also that's about when the rabbit and the squirrel seasons open. And then Iowa's got that early teal season coming up. So, boy. So
time to get the Christmas tree out of the attic.
Well, it is. Get it out now. Get your lights up, too, before it gets cold and icy and slippery, and you start falling. I actually got there's a guy in town there in Kingsley that's still got his lights up from last year, and people are making fun of him. It's like, I can't believe he didn't. What the hell? He's early. You know, why take him down? You're just going to put him up again? They should invent a string of lights that have multicolors in it, and then you got a switch that you can turn on, like the red ones for, and then you leave them up year round. So if it's Valentine's Day, you just turn on the red ones. And
oh, they do have that.
Do they?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. I should get some of those. Well, wait, that means I'd have to put up lights, and that's, I'm allergic to doing that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm too old and fat to crawl up on that roof too far anymore.
Yep, not a fan of ladders myself either.
But all my nephews, I suppose I could get one of them to do it, but God, I have a hard time getting them to do things for me anymore. I just miss the good old days when they were kids, and you could get them to shovel, like, your whole driveway and mow your yard all summer for a, you know, bottle of Mountain Dew. But I don't know. They all grow up and they need money to support their family and stuff like that. They just get selfish on me. So, anyway, let's see. Oh, next weekend in Kingsley, they're going to have their annual town celebration, the Kingsley August Fest. They're just going to have a whole bunch of activities. Probably one of the coolest things will be Friday night, which will be August 9th. They're going to have a car show there in Kingsley, and they're going to have a barbecue cook-off and a pie contest. And the activities that night will be hosted by Cowboy Bob. And it's a pretty big deal. You can get Cowboy Bob to go and do something. I mean, jeez, it's got to be a big event to get a huge, huge celebrity like Cowboy Bob. Anyway, the South Dakota Nest Predator Program, update on that. Their goal was to get rid of 50,000 pheasant, egg, and chick-eating critters to get the pheasant populations to rebound back there in South Dakota. And I didn't think they were going to make it, but this extended trapping season is going to go till August 31st, and they have 6,324 critters left to go. I think they can get there now. I mean, that's like 4 weeks. I think they can do it. I think if they step up to the plate, they can get it done. But it'll be kind of interesting because they've been extending that trapping season all summer and paying a $10 bounty on raccoons, striped skunks, badgers, possums, and red fox in South Dakota to get rid of nest predation on pheasants. And hopefully it makes a big difference. So it'll be interesting to see what the pheasant populations will be like this winter there in South Dakota. Fishing report here. Things are a little bit slow. Catfishing's been really good just about anywhere. Most of them are using stink baits or night crawlers, it seems like. At Storm Lake, they're using stink bait and night crawlers around the rocky structures near the shoreline. Bullhead are still biting on Little Silver Lake in Palo Alto County, and they're catching really big fish there. Catching a few catfish out of Five Island Lake in Palo Alto, and there's quite a few large ones coming out of there that are into that up close to that 10-pound range there at Five Island Lake in Palo Alto. The Iowa Great Lakes, on East Okoboji, they're catching a few walleyes. They're trolling after dark, trolling crankbaits after dark there on East Okoboji, picking up some nice walleyes there. The yellow bass fishing on East Okoboji has been good. And they're finding the fish in 12 feet of water on the south end of the lake. And looks like we do have a call this morning. Let's go right to the phone there. Dwayne. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. Yeah, when you started talking about South Dakota and trapping the predators to get the pheasant populations back up, that's an observation I made years ago. I mean, I was in high school in the 70s, and we had pretty decent populations here in Iowa, and then but everybody and their dog, everybody trapped.
Yeah, they did. They used to. Everybody did. I mean,
because you get a decent price for the furs. I mean, I don't know what they're going for now, but I mean, I got $35 for a coon back then, so it was, you know, some pretty decent money. But the market kind of fell out of that, and people didn't trap so much anymore, and our pheasant populations fell off, and I had this discussion with members of the DNR, and they blame it on the decline of CRP acres.
Right.
Well, back in the 70s, we didn't really have much for CRP acres. That was a product of the 80s.
Yeah, and
so that that argument doesn't hold water to me.
No, not a lot. I mean, when you have limited nest cover to start with, which, you know, we all do. I mean, you know, obviously the ground out there, they're going to farm it if they can. You know, they buy it to make a living. They don't buy it to provide a place for me to pheasant hunt. Kind of selfish bastards. They kind of should, but they don't. But
I said that too, by the way, when I was a kid.
But anyway, yeah. But I mean, when you got these coons that are going, the raccoons and stuff going unchecked and destroying, you know, eating the eggs or whatever. And I tell you, another thing they, I would have liked to see them put on the that list would be like the icky things. I can't say the S word at home because my wife is definitely afraid of those. But the legless reptiles, you know, like bull snakes, stuff like that. I mean, they do a lot of damage on nests.
Well, another one too is feral cats.
Yeah, they're
I'm gonna offend my pet loving friends, but if I'm out hunting and there's a cat out in the middle of nowhere,
yeah,
it's a target of opportunity because it's not a natural predator to the area,
right?
And they do a tremendous amount of damage.
Well, the problem is with like domestic pets like that, like cats that go wild and dogs that go wild, they have a tendency to kill for the fun of it other than to kill something to eat it. You know, if that cat would just kill one of the, you know, baby pheasants and eat it, that'd be fine, but it'll kill the whole brood just for something to do.
Now, my particular thought is maybe we need to start going all Cruella de Vil and start making cat skin coats popular.
Yeah. I always thought that if a guy could come up with a market for cat pelts and rat, you know, and rat skins also, you'd have a perpetual factory because you'd breed the rats and feed them to your cats, and then you'd skin the cat and feed it back to the rat, and it would just go on forever.
But that makes sense.
Well, I know, but we just got to get people convinced that rat skin coats and cat skin hats and stuff are desirable.
Now, please, people, do not send your nasty letters to KSCJ. This is not their opinion.
Yeah, no. No, it isn't. But anyway, hey, thanks, Dwayne. Hey, right. Stick on the line, and Scott will get some information for you there, and we'll get you into the drawing for the Heritage Revolt we're going to give away in December.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. And like I say, you call in. Share a story, add to the show, whatever you want to do. We're going to put you in the drawing for a Heritage Rough Rider revolver that we're going to be giving away in December. And the second place drawing in there will be a brick of 22 ammo, and a third prize will be a custom duck call. Well, let's see. Oh, on the fishing report, I guess. One other thing I wanted to mention, in Wright County, there's two of the lakes are going to be targeted for renovation by the Iowa DNR, and those are Elm Lake and Morse Lake. And Elm Lake is about 458 acres. Morse is about 90 acres. And they are going to relax the fishing regulations on those two lakes until December 1st of this year. And Elm Lake is, they're just the shallow pothole lakes. You know, that's what most of Iowa has in through there. It's average is about 8 feet deep, you know, maybe most of it's around four. Same way with Morse Lake. But they're going to be renovated to remove the abundant carp and bullheads and to improve water quality and habitat. They're going to do the same thing that they've done with like Trumbull and some of the other lakes. They're going to draw down the water, kill out all the fish, and they're going to let it refill over the winter and the spring. But they're going to be restocked in the spring with yellow perch, northern pike, largemouth bass, and bluegill, like I say, in the spring of 2020. And on Elm and Morse, up till December 1st, all you need is a valid sport fishing license, and you can harvest any size and unlimited quantities of any species of fish out of that lake. And you know, the only thing you can't do is you can't use dynamite, poison, electric shocking devices, or any stupefying substances. I always wondered what they mean by stupefying substances, if dynamite and electric shock wouldn't be about the only two things you had available.
Yeah, pretty much covers it.
I would think it would, yeah. We got time. Let's take Don before we go to the break. Good morning, Don.
Hey, John. Good. You mentioned cats. The guy that called in reminded me of a funny one from my crazy uncle who tried to feed me Indian turnips.
Okay.
Cats were fair game to him hunting. Okay. I was out road hunting with him once when I was a kid, and there's a cat sitting on a rock, sunning itself, and out came the 20-gauge, and the cat went straight up in the air, and I, to make a long story short, I had an aunt who lived in a bottle and was just mean as hell. You can about imagine what he did. He cleaned it and gave it to her and told her it was a squirrel.
Oh, my.
I know.
That's, wow, that's kind of crazy.
What a family I came from. I'd forgotten about that one, but yeah, the cat story made me think of it.
Oh, wait, did she eat it then, or do you know?
I never heard anything. Of course, he swore me to secrecy.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, I don't think I told anybody for 20 years.
Well, the cat's out of the bag now, Don.
Yeah, okay, well, there's only one of that crew still alive, and I don't think I've ever told her.
Well, that's awesome.
So, anyway, yeah, I just thought you'd get a kick out of that cat story being fair game. I agree with that 100%.
You bet. Hey.
You bet.
Looks like we're past due for the break. We probably should take that.
All right. Have a good one.
You bet. Hey, when we come back, let's see. Should we throw out the trivia first? Well, and then during the break, hopefully Scott will get a winner on that. But the number will be 239-2101. And true or false, what we're looking for is ostriches instinctively bury their heads in the sand in hopes that trouble will pass them by. Is that true or false?
True or false. 239-2101. We'll be right back after this.
Mom, I'm going to be bored all summer.
Well, how about we go on rides, see sharks, fight zombies.
What?
At a place where it's always 72 degrees and sunny. A place called Mall of America. We'll start at Nickelodeon Universe with 27 rides and attractions.
Whoa!
Then we can go to Sea Life and explore the 300-foot tunnel and check out giant sharks, sea turtles, and crocodiles.
Cool!
After that, we'll take off at Flyover America. You'll feel the wind in your hair as we glide above the Florida Keys and smell the ocean air over Hawaii. And then we fight zombies.
No way!
At XD Ride. It's a seven-dimensional interactive theater where we'll fight zombies or alien reptiles.
I'm in!
Then it's off to Crayola Experience to make melted wax spin art and color our faces with their silly selfies. And we'll stay at Radisson Blue Mall of America, conveniently connected to the mall.
Yay! Swimming!
It's Summer of Play at Mall of America. Visit mallofamerica.com for details.
Come for the fair, stay for the fun, and don't miss the final 2 days of the Woodbury County Fair in Mulville. Today, it's the Antique Car Show, and you just got to see the Bucket Calf Parade. Don't miss the Bill Riley Talent Search or the Outlaw Tractor Pull at 7 and Matt's Family Jam on the free stage at 8:30. We wrap up the fair tomorrow with the B&R Chainsaw Carvings Auction and everyone's favorite Domination Motorsports Demo Derby, plus the Kids Power Wheels and the Lawnmower Demo. We'll see you at the Woodbury County Fair.
Treat yourself to a new career at Interbake Foods. Interbake Foods, one of the nation's oldest and largest cookie producers, currently has openings for warehouse overnight shift, earning up to $19.09 per hour, maintenance mechanic, earning up to $25.50 per hour, and a sanitation technician, Sunday through Thursday, earning up to $17.24 per hour.
Also, Interbake is looking to hire a maintenance manager and an overnight maintenance supervisor. To apply, visit www.westonfoods.com. That's westonfoods.com.
Stop by to apply at Interbake Foods at 1 Devil's Food Drive in North Sioux City, South Dakota. Interbake Foods offers a generous benefits package, including 401k, vision insurance, dental insurance, health insurance, life insurance, along with paid vacations and holidays. Post-offer drug screening background check and physical capacity profile required. Interbake Foods participates in the E-Verify program, MF Disabled and Vet EEOAA employer. At Interbake, work never smelled so good.
Big John. Big John.
Well, I think we're still looking for a winner for the trivia. I'm not sure. Scott's on the line with somebody right now. What we were looking for were, true or false, ostriches instinctively bury their heads in the sand in hopes that trouble will pass them by. And was that a winner for that, the last one that you had on the line? Or?
No, actually, that was somebody calling from Kingsley saying they're still looking for a guest ringmaster at the circus.
Well, they should probably talk to Cowboy Bob.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Get a real celebrity.
Yeah. But yeah, we're still looking for an answer on the question. Ostriches instinctively bury their heads in the sand in hopes that trouble will pass them by. True or false? Hey, some nice stuff for you. You guessed correctly.
Yeah, we got the 1 ounce pure copper coin with the Minuteman on one side and the Second Amendment on the other. And also got a piece of ostrich hickory smoked jerky in the prize pack. And ostriches are the largest and heaviest living bird and they are in the world, and they are native to Africa. They weigh more than 400 pounds and over 8 feet tall. And they report that their kick is able to kill a lion. And there was a weird story in Florida in April. There's several of these different kinds of large flightless birds, the ostrich being the biggest one. Another one is, it's called a cassowary, and they're about half the size of an ostrich. They only weigh about 130 pounds, and they're only about 5 feet high, you know, just a small bird, and they can run up to about 30 miles an hour. And they're native to Australia and New Guinea. And I don't know, some people keep them as pets, but the San Diego Zoo calls them the most dangerous bird in the world. And this breeder in Florida was killed by the one that he was keeping in captivity. And yeah, he probably agrees that they're probably the most dangerous bird in the world now. But 75-year-old Marvin Hayos was attacked and killed near Gainesville, Florida, by a captive cassowary. In Florida, a permit is normally required to possess, sell, or exhibit cassowaries, but breeders like Hayos are exempt from the rule, and they didn't really specify why he would be exempt. Other than, I don't know. I don't know why the guy wouldn't be exempt. But anyway, like I said, they're about 100. They can stand up to about 6 feet tall, weigh 130 pounds, run about 35 miles an hour, and they can deliver powerful headbutts and pecks. The biggest problem with the cassowaries is they have a 5-inch razor-sharp dagger-like claw on the inner toe of each foot, and when they deliver a downward kick, they've been known to break bones, cause serious lacerations, and which. Poor old 75-year-old Marvin in Gainesville, Florida, found out when his cassowary went berserk and disemboweled him. Awesome. So anyway, I don't really think that I want to get a cassowary for a pet. Now, that round of calls had to got us a winner on the trivia there, Scott.
Yes. Carrie from Sioux City correctly identified that is false.
Yeah. But ostriches, when they first suspect danger, they just run. But if they're in a spot where they cannot run away, they will lay close to the ground and remain still, which gives them the appearance of their head buried in the sand. Well, I guess we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
CBS News Update.
We warn people excessively throughout the year. Tell people.